Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 31. We finally made it to the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I expect we can probably finish this one up this year maybe. Amen. This chapter and this book. Amen. I'm thinking about going back to chapter 1 starting over again. You know, I did that about 3 or 4 times in this study. Amen. But seriously, we are here in chapter number 31. Final chapter, but we're not going to be. Chapter 31 is well known for the fact of its teaching on women, but we're not going to get there tonight because these first 9 verses deal with just the instruction of Lemuel's mother to him about various things. The thing about the woman is really the last thing that she's going to be talking to him about, and I believe these are her words that he pinned down. That's what it looks like in the scripture here. All right, so if you're looking in Proverbs chapter number 31, we'll read the first 9 verses responsively together. All right, the Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish." Thank you, I'm sorry. "And wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." We'll stop reading there. Go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hereford, would you lead us, please, brother? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Hereford, for that prayer. Amen. Well, we're beginning the study of the final chapter of the book of Proverbs. And as I said, it is a famous chapter, primarily because of what's known about the virtuous woman and much that is said there that is to be remembered and should be so. And, you know, I thought this is interesting that here we are, we're getting close to Mother's Day and this is where we're at. Again, I didn't plan it that way, but maybe the Lord did. He, as a matter of fact, he knew about it. No matter what results from it, he knew about it anyway. So tonight we're going to look at this lesser known 1/3 of the book. If you realize that there's 31 chapters and this 31st chapter has 31 verses, and almost 1/3 of that, the first 9 verses, is not dealing with the virtuous woman. 2/3 of this chapter deals with that woman, and that's what we mainly know. But we're going to deal with the lesser known 1/3. Verse number 1, and looking at it verse by verse, verse number 1 says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." So I say this, these are his mother's words that he is repeating. She told him these things, and he learned them at her knee. He learned them in lessons, listening to his mother as she spoke to him these teachings. Now, again, this, who is Lemuel? You say, who's Lemuel? Well, most Bible commentators believe this is Solomon, just another name for Solomon, as the name Agur. If you look up the name Lemuel, I don't have the notes in front of me, but the name has the idea of being one from God, one sent from God, or one loved of God. I believe that's what it's called, one loved of God. And it's akin to the name Jedediah. Do y'all remember that name? Does that name seem familiar to you? The name Jedediah? Jedediah was another name for Solomon that, as far as I know, he's never used other than one time. And that's in the scripture. He's loved of God. And so if Jedediah is the same as Lemuel, Lemuel's the same as Solomon. And I believe that's probably who it is. Well, whether it is or not, if that's so, then his mother is none other than Bathsheba. And some commentators say they don't believe this is him because of the fact they say Bathsheba would have been so old when Solomon was born. We don't know how old she was. Right. I mean, you don't know. She might have lied about her age. You can't never tell. That was a joke, by the way. Amen. But seriously, we don't know how old she was. She could have, if she had Solomon when she was reasonably young and very well could have, then it would appear that she might have taught him and been around to teach him even when he's king and when he's headed to be king. She did know that he's going to be king, and she was involved in that when David made the promise to her before he made the promise to Solomon. Matter of fact, it looks like that's who he made the promise to, was to the mother. But if this is some other person, then we know nothing about him other than what's written here. We do know that he had a godly mother. He had a good mother that taught him in a good way. Amen. Amen. Now again, some people say, well, see, that can't be Bathsheba. But here's, the Bible's full of grace. Amen. A man can start off bad and still turn out good. Amen. By grace. Amen. A woman can start off bad and still turn out good by grace. Amen. Now, and let me say this too. This thing about David, for example. David sinned with Bathsheba. Bathsheba's sin. I don't know. It doesn't look to me like Bathsheba was in the habit of running around with every man that come along. And it doesn't look like David was in the habit of committing adultery every few days. This is a one-time incident. Doesn't make it right, but we can understand a little bit more when people have failures. That their whole life does not have to be marked by that failure. It may contribute to some injuries. It may contribute to some inabilities. But that doesn't mean God can't forgive and can't use them in other ways on down the road. Amen. I believe that's absolutely right. So here, we know this King Lemuel, whoever he was, had a good mother that taught him in the good way, and he is sharing his teachings with us in these pages that are before us. Now, let me say this. Mothers can teach the children just as fathers can. Amen. Mothers can influence the children just as fathers can. Matter of fact, they may very well do more because they're with them more. They have the time. They have maybe they have the patience. Maybe they have the ability and the heart to do that. But God's intention is for fathers and mothers to work together in the nurturing of children and the raising up of children and the training of children and bringing them up in the nurturing admonition of the Lord, training them in the way they should go. God means for fathers and mothers to do that. God doesn't mean for mothers alone to do it. He doesn't mean for fathers alone to do it. He means for them to work together to do it. In some cases, one or the other is absent. Maybe it's death, maybe it's adultery, maybe it's inability, whatever the case, and one may have to carry the load, but God shows us that it can be done. Amen. And so this idea about this training of the king, even kings need to be instructed. I would say especially kings need to be instructed. Amen. Now, if you're of the mindset that says, I don't like school, and I don't think I ought to have a new school. Well, if you're going to succeed, you need some schooling. And you would be wise to pick up on the education that you can and receive it while you can. Amen. And so I just say even kings can be instructed, should be instructed. And why should they not learn at the knee of their mother? Amen. Kings don't have to be shipped off to some foreign land, and neither do kids. Amen. I don't think that we have to ship them off to some boarding school for them to learn. I know that was done in the past. I don't think we ought to necessarily have to ship them off to some government school for them to learn. They ought to be able to learn at home. Amen. And we ought to have give attention to that. Give attention to that. I guess that's the best way to say it. So notice that these teachings that Lemuel's mother gave are called by a particular word. Look at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel. What's that next word? Prophecy that his mother taught him. She taught him prophecy. Now, I don't think she's teaching him about future things. I don't think that she is teaching him necessarily about future happenings, or but what she's talking to him about are inspired sayings. She's teaching him spiritual things. She's teaching him biblical things. Amen. The Word of God. That's, I believe, what it's talking about. He learned these words from his mother. And by the way, it's recorded as the very Word of God, so what she taught him had to be the Word of God. Now look at verse number 2. Here's the statement of his mother. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Verse 3, I believe, goes with it. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. First of all, she asked a bunch of questions. What, my son? She's allowed to give him instructions that made their way into the very Word of God. She extols him. She pleads with him as not only her son, but the son of her womb and the son of her vows. Now here's what she's doing. She is pleading to him to listen to her because she is his mother and because she carried him in her own womb. She's got a closeness to him that nobody else can ever have. She has proven her desire for him. She has proven her devotion to him. Amen. Now, listen, in today's society, if a lady carries a child to birth, thank God she didn't murder the baby, because there's a lot of murderers out here today that's got swollen bellies, but they're murderers. Maybe they call them mothers, or maybe they just think they're giving birth to a fetus, but they're murderers when they kill that baby. This woman had proven her devotion to this young man, to this child, as a babe, and as he's grown up, she stayed there. She stuck with the stuff, amen. She didn't leave his dad. She stayed faithful to the marriage. She stayed faithful to her home. She stayed faithful to her son. She's not out gallivanting the streets. She's not out working a public job. She stayed faithful to her calling, and she's raised a godly son. Amen. Thank God for that kind of woman. Amen. You say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. Yeah, but we need to be reminded of that. Amen. Amen. In today's society, women are getting tattoos, putting on men's breeches, men's work boots, men's hard hats, and taking men's jobs rather than raising men. And we're raising little perverts is what we're raising in these daycares. Amen. Raising little perverts instead of raising men, because mama has perverted the way and thinks she's a man herself. That ain't in my notes, but it's right there in the Bible. Amen. Here's a woman that didn't do that. Thank God for her. Amen. Thank God for her. She's pleading with him. He's her son. She not only gave birth to him, she said, you're the son of my vows. Here's the idea. What's vows? Vows are prayers. She's prayed for this boy. She's made promises to God for this boy. Just like Hannah. Amen. Hannah wanted a child, and Hannah said to the Lord, she said, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. Amen. I don't remember who it was said it. If they said it here in a meeting, I think it was, but it could have been somewhere else, because I've been so many places lately. Somebody made the statement. They said this, that Hannah, when she prayed, Hannah said, Lord, I want a son more than anything in the world, but you need a preacher, and I'll be willing to give him to you if you'll give me a son. Because the light was about to go out. Eli wasn't going to hold up the end, and his boys wasn't going to hold up the end. God needed somebody to stand in the gap. And she made a vow to God. And Lemuel, listen, Lemuel, however king that he became, if it was Solomon, I'll say this, Solomon had his failures, but in his successes he owed it to his mother's prayers and her teaching. She said to him, she said, you're my son, you're the son of my womb, you're the son of my vows. Amen. Amen. She had probably prayed for him. She had made vows to God for him. I say again, we need more mothers like that. We need mothers that say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to raise this boy to be a drunkard. The world's got way too many drunkards already. We need godly men. I'm going to try to raise this boy to be a godly man. Amen. Women that say, I'm not going to raise this girl to be a cheerleader. I'm not going to raise this girl to be a harlot. I'm not going to raise this girl to be a starlet. Amen. She's not going to run around in tutus. Amen. She's gonna dress like a godly woman. I'm gonna raise her for that purpose. Amen. Again, that ain't in my notes, but it's in my heart. It's right. Amen. Make some vows about those. You can't determine how they'll turn out, but you can sure help by pointing them in the right direction. Amen. If there are arrows in the hand of a mighty man, what makes that arrow hit the mark? I'll tell you, the main thing makes that arrow hit the mark is how you point it. Amen. How you point it and how you pull it back and turn it loose. Amen. Now the winds can blow and things can happen and arrows can have their own defects. I understand all that. But a whole lot that depends on how they turn out by the way you point them. God help us with that. Amen. God help us with that. Amen. Whew. I thought this was going to be a short message, but I appreciate God giving that to me right here on the spot. We need mothers like that. The phrase, what my son, and what, that goes on in verse number one. His mother, it's as if she's saying, what shall I say? What can I say? What ought you to do about these things? What will be your lessons today? What will you need most when you grow up? What would be a good thing to influence you about that'll mean the most to you down the road? She's asking about these things. And most commentators say that this language that she's using here is the language that is couched in tenderness and affection. Amen. She's not just speaking from her mouth, she's speaking from her heart. Amen. By the way, mothers should speak with love even when they speak sternly. Amen. One of the hardest things to endure when you love your mother is for her to scold you. Now, she's fussing all the time, right? I heard one fellow talk about it. He said, my mother-in-law is an angel. He said, she's always up in there harping about something. Well, if that's the mentality, always fussing, always complaining, then it don't really carry a whole lot of weight. But when the mother's been tender and a mother's been delicate, and a mother's been, that doesn't mean she can't be strong, by the way. When she is stern, her words carry weight. And I believe that's what this mother was doing. A good mother can and will use stern speech when necessary, but they'll still speak with love. Amen. Now, she taught her son in the good way. She also warned him of the evil way. Look at the last part, verse number 3. I read 2 and 3 together. And by the way, verse 1, I believe, stands alone. 2 and 3 go together. 4 and 5 go together. 6 and 7 go together. 8 and 9 go together. I believe that's how I'm going to use them in a way. So here's in verse 3, this is what she needs to warn him of. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Solomon said to his son earlier in the book of Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. You remember that? That's what this mother has said to Lemuel. Give me thine heart. She has taught him, and by the way, this needs to be taught. Children need to give their heart to their mother. Amen. Listen to me. Don't keep secrets from your parents. If somebody tells you this is just our little secret, that is a dirty, wicked person. And you mark it down. Mark it down. That is a dirty, wicked thing when somebody says, let's keep this a secret. Now, if they say, don't tell your mom about this Christmas present, that's different. All right? That's different. But you know what I'm talking about. Children ought to be able to talk to mama about anything. Anything. And honestly, they ought to be able to talk to daddy about anything. But sometimes daddy's stern. Sometimes daddy may be short fused. I ought to be able to talk to mama in those cases. So she says, what should I talk to my son about? Here's the thing. Lemuel, Solomon, whoever, you have learned from a little one to trust a woman, but you can't trust every woman. That's the first thing she tells him. First thing, I mean, the first thing in the scripture here, it's not the first thing she ever taught him, but in this context, her main warning, by the way, Solomon needed that warning. Amen. Solomon didn't heed that warning. And it didn't just destroy Solomon, it destroyed his kingdom. Because his heart was divided because of all those strange women. But what his mother's trying to tell him here is you've been taught to trust a woman, but you can't trust every woman. There's wicked women out there. And in 2024, there's more than there's ever been. More than there's ever been. Amen. I don't have time to chase 1,000 rabbits here. Let me just plug this. I mentioned about the situation there, the young lady wearing too much makeup. All right. And that's my opinion. I think I'm right about it. You don't have to agree with me. You can be wrong if you want to. Amen. But back years ago, in the 80s, I know at least. I don't know when this started. But I do know that in the 80s, they started this thing called glamour shots. They take old women and make them up to look like Hollywood. And they take the picture of this. Today, you know what they're doing today? Now they're taking selfies and they're using filters. Do you know you can lose weight by the push of a button? Right. But here's what I don't understand. Let me just plug this. These girls running around here taking selfies and showing selfies all over the world. There's something wrong with that. That is vanity. That is pride. That is wickedness. That is asking for trouble. Boys too, by the way. Amen. But when somebody takes a picture of themselves, and they make themselves look like Dolly Parton, or they make themselves look like 20 years younger, or 30 pounds lighter, and somebody comes along and says, I saw that picture of you, and you look so good. You know what they're saying? I like the fake you better than I like the real you. Now, how's that a compliment? I ain't figured that out yet. How can that be a compliment when they like it, and they give you the thumbs up, and they hit all these buttons, and you get all these followers because they like the fake you instead of the real you? Solomon's mama said, son, you can't trust every woman. Be careful, son, around women. Amen. And that's good advice for young men. Amen. And this ain't attacking women. Matter of fact, I mean, Proverbs 31, how can that be attacking women? But it is saying some women are not virtuous women. I don't believe a virtuous woman's taking selfies of herself and painting herself up to look like something she's not. All right. I've never saw Hollywood that was godly. Not one. Nobody in Hollywood I've ever saw that I believe was godly. So I don't want to look like Hollywood. I want to look more like the Bible. Amen. And I want you too. Amen. Amen. So anyway, let me get back to my notes here. She's telling her son, beware of evil women. Now, she taught her son by her demonstration, she taught her son about the virtuous woman. We're going to see more about it when we get on down to verse 10. Excuse me, she's really concerned about this issue. It's the first thing she talks about, and she comes back to it and finishes the last two-thirds of the book, of the chapter. She finishes talking about a godly woman, so he'll know what to look for as well as what to avoid. Solomon has talked to his son in the first chapter. You remember chapters 5, 6, 7, and 9 deal a whole lot. Majority of those four chapters deal with the harlot, the strange woman, the evil woman. And now we're going to get to where he's going to talk about the godly woman. She wants him to be warned so that he can be careful when he picks a wife. Amen. Picks one that'll be his companion. So she has demonstrated to him what a godly, virtuous woman, how she should behave, but she's also warning him about an evil, wicked, and loose woman, or women, which destroyeth kings. You see that in verse number 3? That which destroyeth kings, and it did destroy Solomon. Nearly destroyed David. Destroyed Samson. Amen. It's destroyed many mighty men, the Bible says. Many mighty men have fallen because of that. So she's talking about these evil, loose women that destroyeth kings. By the way, even a king, rich as he is, can't afford a whorish woman. Amen. Even a king can't support her. She'll destroy him. That's right. His mother warned him about such women, that they would rob him of his strength. Amen. Look what she said, verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women. Give not thy strength. That's exactly what happened to Samson. Samson gave away his morality. Samson gave away his virtue. And he gave away his vitality by giving away his strength. She said she'll rob you of your strength. Not just physical strength, your moral strength. Amen. Your testimony, the strength of your testimony. She will destroy you. Steal your physical vigor, strip him of his spiritual stamina, and rob him of his moral integrity. Amen. She not only warned Solomon or Lemuel against wild women, she also warned him about other ways. See that in verse 3? Ways to that which destroyeth kings. And here's some of those. One of those ways is strong drink, verse number 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink, or for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Everybody needs a good sober head, but especially kings, especially those in authority. Amen. You need a good head on your shoulders in order to make decisions for your family. You need a good head on your shoulders in order to make decisions for your business. You need a good head on your shoulders in order to make decisions for your church and for the things of God. And he said, or she's saying, don't drink. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not wise for you to drink. Now, kings are especially prone to wild women and wine. They have all the means to have whatever they want. Their word is law, and they can just command it. By the way, when David called for Bathsheba to come to him, Bathsheba, in one sense, could not have said no. It would have, could have meant her life. You say David wouldn't have killed her. He killed her husband, didn't he? Lust causes people to do all kinds of things. Kings have the ability to say, and it is. And so they have a great temptation towards wild women and a temptation towards wine. And by the way, other people, they're using the wine to gain influence with the king. And they're using the women to gain influence with the king. Amen. One of the reasons why that it is important to try to get a godly man in leadership. We haven't had one in years, decades. They say, well, I'm not voting for a pastor, I'm voting for president. I understand that. But if he's immoral, he's in danger of being used. He's in danger of being manipulated in some way because he's immoral. Amen. And that's the case that we've had over and over and over again. And, of course, we've heard, spies will send women in places to lay the groundwork to win the affection, to win the attention. They'll bring the wine in. That's why these lobbyists up there, wine, women, and song, buddy. I mean, it's just out there. But matter of fact, Brother Calloway can tell you, if you go to the capital, not just capital of the United States, not just Washington, D.C., but the capital of Kentucky, you go to the capital, there's all kinds of wickedness going on up there. All kinds of ungodliness going on up there. Why is that? People using that to gain influence with these men. We need some godly mamas telling their boys, raising their boys from little boys, that you don't go down that route. Amen. And reminding them, that's not the way you was raised, son. It's not the way you ought to go. Amen. Amen. Well, kings are especially prone to wild women and wine. They have unlimited access to these excesses. They're also not only especially inclined to that, but they're especially guilty when they do indulge because they make wrong laws, wrong decisions because of those things. Amen. I read where that Philip of Macedon, he was Alexander the Great's father, Philip of Macedonia, when he was king, he was holding court one day and a woman came before him, a widow woman came before him, and he was drunk. And in his drunken judgeship, he judged her harshly and he judged her wrongfully as a drunk man. And she pleaded to him. She said, I want to appeal, but I want my appeal to be to the sober Philip of Macedon. And when he sobered up, he realized he'd done wrong. You know what he did? He paid the fine that he said she was going to have to pay. Because he felt like he was guilty of wrong judgment and he is guilty of drunkenness. Now here's where I'm going with that. Some people say, well, if somebody's drunk and they commit a crime, they're not guilty. Oh, yes, they are guilty of it. They're twice guilty. They're guilty of getting drunk and they're guilty of doing the crime. Right? Twice guilty of that. And by the way, young men need to be reminded of that. You go out and get drunk and don't give you excuse to live wicked and ungodly. You just got two black eyes now. You just got two motes and things against you there. Amen. And so Lemuel here is being instructed about being careful about drinking wine. Now here's what happens when the king is given to wine. He endangers his people and he disgraces his crown. Amen. Those that are in leadership need to discipline themselves in order to be able to lead others properly. Amen. It's been in the military for years. Some of you people remember a man by the name of General Petraeus? I think he was a 4-star general. I believe that's right. General Petraeus was a high-ranking general, and he had an affair. You know what happened? He lost his rank. He lost his position. He lost his prestige. You know why? Because he's not fit to be a leader if he's not faithful to his wife. By the way, if he ain't faithful to her, how do you think he'd be faithful to the government? If he don't keep his vows to his own wife, what makes you think he's going to keep his vows to the government? Amen. Amen. God help us with that. All right. I could say a lot of things about it, but I'll try not to. But anyway, this whole idea about this, Lemuel's mother indicates that it is really madness or insanity that causes people to be intoxicated. And the intoxication makes them even more mad or insane. Amen. When somebody is insane, I'm talking about somebody is not able to think properly. I'm not talking about drunk. I'm talking about have a mental problem. And they commit a crime. They may not know they've done wrong. And in that sense, they're not held to the same degree. But drunkenness is voluntary insanity. Right. It is voluntary insanity. And so I believe they ought to be held to a higher standard, not a lower one. Amen. Amen. So she's talking about this. Be careful that you don't forget the law. You notice that? Verse number 5, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. All right. You got to be careful. You be doubly guilty of the crime and of the voluntary insanity of both. Now, let me take the words of Lemuel's mother and apply them. Let me paraphrase them this way. Here's what she said. Look at it with me in verse number 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Can I say it this way? It is not for Christians to drink, nor for Christians to use strong drink. It's not a Christian thing. Amen. It's not a good thing. Amen. It's not a right thing for them to use wine and for them to use strong drink. It just doesn't fit. Amen. It's just not right for Christians to be sipping on wine. It's just not right for Christians to be guzzling beer. It's just not right for Christians to be laying on the liquor. Just not right. Here's another way I'd paraphrase it. It is not for parents to drink strong drink or for parents to use wine. Because there have been a lot of little children hurt, harmed, and hurt because of drink. I mentioned about Brother Epps telling that story, and Brother Jacob's family was there, heard him telling it. Grandma and Grandpa raised him. They were bootleggers, drunks themselves. He said he'd seen his grandpa beat his grandma black and blue. He said he'd seen them both so drunk they couldn't get up off the floor. Both of them. I thank God I didn't grow up that way. Amen. My dad drank some stuff and talked about he'd been drunk before, but that was before my day. He got saved when I was 8 days old. Thank God. Amen. I never saw any of that. I'm glad I haven't seen it. But you may have seen that. And I'm going to tell you, if you have seen that, it ought to be even more reason why you ain't going to mock sin and you're not going to laugh about it when they get drunk. I have heard of people. As a matter of fact, we knew a man, the first church my dad ever pastored, I was just a boy. As a matter of fact, I was 9 years old when we went there. And my dad pastored. There's a man later on made a profession, I believe. But we'd go to his house. He loved dad. His wife was my Sunday school teacher, good woman, godly woman. But this man's name was Naaman, just like Naaman in the Bible. When Naaman was a toddler, they put moonshine liquor in his bottle as a toddler and laughed at him staggering across the floor. You know what he did when he was a senior citizen? He laid drunk. Yeah. You know why? Because mom and daddy laughed about it. If you know what it, listen, even I know what to say. Well, you know, back in the day, television wasn't so bad. You know, good things like Andy Griffith, and Andy Griffith taught us to laugh at drunks, and it ain't no laughing matter. I've said it before, if that's your daddy coming home drunk, you wouldn't be laughing. Amen. Amen. So it just doesn't fit. Doesn't fit. It's not the way it ought to be. All right, verse 6 and 7. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish and wine to them that are of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Now let me just say right away that this verse is not recommending that dying men or those of heavy hearts should get drunk and forget their poverty. That's not what it's saying. God would never recommend you to give the bottle to your neighbor's lips when he said just prior in the scripture that it's a sin for you to give your bottle to your neighbor's lip. God wouldn't recommend. God's not a bartender. Amen. I've heard men, some of that crowd, recovering fundamentalist crowd, they say Jesus tended bar. I say, you ain't got a lick of sense. You've just blasphemed the Holy Ghost, I believe. Amen. Jesus was not a bartender. Jesus never recommended anybody get drunk. But here's what I believe he is saying. He's saying, and this is his Lemuel's mother saying, there could be medicinal uses for these things. They're not talking about excesses. They're not talking about getting drunk and forgetting your troubles. Although it does talk about let him drink and forget his poverty. Remember his misery no more. Here's what it said. By the way, we used to watch some of those old cowboy movies when they get shot in the arm with one of them fake bullets. A fella take that six shooter and shoot 49 people with it. One of them get shot in the arm and they tie that bandage around his arm and put something in his mouth. And they'd give him some liquor as they'd take their pocket knife and cut that out. Why? To deaden his senses. He wasn't trying to get him drunk. He wasn't trying to party and have a big time. He was trying to help him with his pain. Today we've got better things. Amen. Somebody said, they asked my dad, said, what would you do if a doctor recommended that you drink a beer every day for your kidneys? Dad said, I'd go to another doctor. Surely they got better things than that now. I believe that's right. Amen. Lemuel's mother is saying here, when a man's in deep pain, a man's headed to destruction, a man, maybe he's going to the gallows, it might not be wrong for him to use it as a medicinal means, but don't you get drunk. It's not for kings to drink wine. It'll cloud your judgment. Right? It'll cloud your judgment. So she is not referring to the intemperate social injustice indulgences of our day. Not talking about going sitting at the bar and having wine or strong drink. She's warned about the danger of that already. But she's talking about a relief as a medicine. Now, I put this note here. By the way, if you would use these verses as an excuse to get drunk, as some have, you should know that you're taking this text out of context and you're using it to go against hundreds of other texts that tell us that it's wrong, that denounce drunkenness, amen, that denounce intoxication, amen. Those who use this text to justify drinking are handling the Word of God deceitfully. Paul warned against that. He said, we're not like those that handle the Word of God deceitfully. They're bringing judgment upon themselves. Amen. And judgment upon those that follow their pernicious ways. That's what he talked about. So it appears that Lemuel's mother here is instructing him not to use the means that he's going to be king. He's going to have all kinds of, don't use those means for gluttony and drunkenness. Don't run after women. Don't run after strong drink. But she said, rather use it to help somebody. You got a man there that's about to die? He needs some medicine. You've got the means to supply that medicine. You got somebody that's in deep trouble? You've got the means to help them. I believe that's what she's talking about. Look at verses 8 and 9. Goes right along with it. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Amen. So he's been instructed to speak up for those who have no voice. Uses the word dumb. Whether or not that means that literally they can't speak. Or if it just means they don't have a voice in court. They don't have a lawyer. They can't afford one. They don't have the means to speak up. She said, you can speak up for him. And she's encouraging him to do so. Those that have no voice, speak up for them. He's to be a friend to the friendless. Amen. He's to protect the unprotected. Amen. He's to recognize that God raised him up to such a position for such a cause and for such a time as this. If you've got means, here's what she's saying. I believe this fits not just kings. I believe it fits us. If we have means, God gave us those means for a cause and for a purpose, and we ought not just use them selfishly. Amen. We ought to use them in a way that honor God and help others. That's what he's talking about there. So he's to be a just king. He's to be one that upholds just causes. Amen. And again, this does not just fit Lemuel, King Lemuel. It fits all of us as well. God repeatedly reminded his chosen nation of Israel, the children of Israel. God reminded them that they had been servants at one time, and they ought to have a heart for servants. That they ought to have a heart for strangers. That they ought to have a heart for the poor and downtrodden. God reminded them over and over how good he was to them in the wilderness. How he took care of them. Now they're in lands. They've got houses. They've got vineyards. They've got all these goods. And he's saying you ought to use them to help others like I helped you when you couldn't help yourself. Amen. Again, I believe that applies to the church. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 4. And I'm going to close with this. After this, I'm going to read these verses and make a few comments in conclusion. Luke chapter 4, our Lord Jesus outlined his idea of ministry. He's quoting from the book of Isaiah, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. I know I could read on up there and talk about him in Nazareth going to the synagogue. But verse 18, here's what the Lord said. These are his words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's what King Lemuel's mom is telling him. You remember the poor? Preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's what she told him. Help those that are down and out. To preach deliverance to the captives. Speak up for them that don't have a voice for themselves. Recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Now I close my message tonight, the study tonight of these nine verses, with a statement of thanksgiving. Thank God his son, our king, is concerned about the downtrodden. Our king speaks up for those that have no voice to speak for themselves. Our king looks with compassion upon those that are headed to destruction. And he's interested in the poor and downtrodden. The king of glory befriends poor sinners. Thank God he does. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. Thank God for such a savior. Thank God for such a glorious king. Do you know him? Do you know him tonight? Are you serving Him? Are we imitating Him? Are we going out and doing likewise? That's what He said, go thou and do likewise. Or are we just living for self, spending all of our goods on ourselves? Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. As we've studied these 9 verses tonight, thank You for what You've shown us out of them. Help us, dear God, to use it for Your glory and honor. Father, I pray, help us that we'd receive it as it's meant to be, the instruction from the mouth of God. Even though it's a woman telling her son and her son telling us, these are the words of God. Help us to receive it as such. Help us to be thankful for where You found us. Never forget it. What You did for us, help us never forget it. But help us to go out and do likewise. Help somebody else. Help us to pray for somebody else. Help us to believe in somebody else for Your glory and honor. Lord, I pray especially for the sinner. You draw them to Christ even now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen.